Welcome to the InSync Insurance Podcast. I'm your host, Dawn Cross, and today we'll be discussing working inside the financial industry with fellow podcast hosts Shane Highland and Gareth Shears from Mind & Money Podcast at Sanctuary Financial Planning. If you enjoy our podcast, make sure to leave a rating on your favourite podcast directory.
I guess my first question is, could you introduce yourselves and a little bit about your background?
You can go first then, young man.
So I'm Gareth Shears. I am a chartered financial planner and a fellow of the, is it the personal or professional finance side?
Personal
finance side. I should really know that, shouldn't I? Because that's my governing body. I've been in financial services since 2008. So how long is that? Nearly 15 years now. And we've been running Sanctuary as a directly authorised firm for the last 5 years. We specialise in kind of working with business owners and sort of entrepreneurs when it comes to kind of business owners. And we also got an arm for the business which runs our podcast and our content, which is kind of our YouTube channel. We've got an educational platform as well, where we talk about kind of all the kind of skills you would never taught school about money. We've literally just released our first book a week and a bit ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And it purely about kind of teaching people habits around money and stuff you would never taught school.
That's really cool.
I've been in business
point.
Circa 20 years across kind of other businesses as well, and property and an online retail company as well in the past, which I kind of built and sold. But financial services and financial education has been my kind of, I guess, bread and butter for a while now. We're a little bit different, I'd like to say, than the kind of traditional, kind of old-fashioned, boring financial advisors. We shouldn't say that, but it's fine. But like I say, you know, we're big into the content, the media side of what we do. You know, very much like your company, you've got a podcast running. It's quite unusual for firms to do that, but I think it's a great medium to get your story across and to educate everyone. But that's me talking too much again. And over to my esteemed colleague.
Dun, dun, dun. I am Shane Highland, as you can gather from the accent, originally from the west coast of Ireland, moved to the UK in 2003, and since that time, have been working in financial services. So I'm going to try and remember what I am, a bit like a certified financial planner, chartered wealth manager. And as of last week, as you say, we hit number one in 4 charts on Amazon the day we released our book. So I think Gareth summed it all up. We're a bit different. We don't talk straight away about products. It's more so about the person's plan, the journey, the process, and then the products. And it's working well through the educational side of YouTube and podcasting and all that. And it was good. We recorded a podcast ourselves earlier on, and we were chatting about, you know, what people should ask us. And last week I was in a school, we were talking to year sixes, and when I told them what I was originally, a certified financial planner, chartered wealth man, they were all yawning. And then you tell them you're a YouTuber and a podcaster and a best-selling author, the eyes just light up. And it's probably the same as adults. It gives us a bit of kudos and authority because we've put ourselves out there on, you know, audio, visual, and in paperback, that this is what we do, so it can never be taken away. So yeah, I think we're very proud of what we've done over the last few years, and it's a thing of everything that we know. I think we actively pushed out to give to people so that they can get the correct information rather than trying to see what is the right stuff on Google or YouTube or whatever it may be.
Oh, definitely. So kind of segueing on, like, how does your business then help others? Like, how do you work? You said as well, obviously, you've done some talks as well.
Yeah, so I guess there's different kind of avenues. You know, we do your generic kind of financial advice. You know, we do mortgages, we do insurances, things like that. But a lot of the way we base our business is around the real kind of financial planning. So the client will come to us and we'll talk about their real goals, aspirations, needs, and wants, what really makes them tick. what really worries them. Because you ask a client what actually really worries you, generally it is that they're going to run out of money. That's the simple thing. And we're here to try and, I guess, alleviate those fears. You know, the amount of business owners you ask, you know, what is your biggest fear? And it usually is going to the cash point, because they've usually been through this, go to the cash point. And there's no money. And they have to draw out. Not that we can't draw much cash in these days, we can't use it anyway. But that's the analogy they usually give. They just never want to go through that again. So a lot of what we do is goal-based financial planning, whereby we look at what their fears, goals are, and then we make a plan for them for the future. Now, obviously that doesn't fit for every client, because some people just have kind of very simple generic need. But the ones who come to us, business owners who kind of really want to get things in order because they're used to getting their business plan really sorted and nailed down, and they know exactly what their profit and loss is and their KPIs of in the business. They have no idea what their profit and loss is in their own home or the KPIs in their own home. So it's kind of, that's where we kind of come in. We have a kind of big passion for that.
Yeah, I can't add much to that. I think the education side of the business, I think the two of us feel that through previous generations giving false or misleading information, that everyone's, or the vast majority of people's relationship with money is, I'm not going to say bad, but incorrect. People don't understand the difference between saving and investing. People don't have happiness aligned to money. People have a bad relationship with spending. It makes them feel bad rather than good. So, you know, as a result of many 30 odd years of experience, we've seen all the pitfalls, and we've created and are still creating the education arm, which will lead on to the financial planning arm, that will re-educate people, I think, from children to adults on the right way of thinking about money, aligning their spending with happiness, and making sure that when they do spend money, it makes them happy rather than the opposite way, because that's just silly. But deconstructing all the stuff that grandparents and parents have taught people over the years, which is incorrect. And now we've got into the world of, you know, digital money. We've gone from bartering to cash to digital money. People need to have a better understanding now, because in the past, if you've had a £20 note or a £50 note and you spend it, you see the change back and you notice how much you're spending. Whereas now, everything being digitalized, it's the concept of spending is just on the phone or an app, and people just don't realize what they're spending, what they're earning, what they're wasting, and hence why I think a lot of people are unhappy at the moment, and that can have an impact then on, you know, financial well-being being on incorrect, on mental well-being, physical well-being. So I think it's one of the pillars we have to try and get right for people.
Oh, definitely, especially with buy now, pay later, and all of those sort of schemes where it's so digital and you just don't think about the actual real value of it, and that's how people end up accidentally just racking up over thousands of pounds.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It doesn't feel real to them, and also it's just been almost like peddled as normal and okay, when actually, especially if you default on those, it can affect you very, very quickly.
Yeah, I think, and that's something we try and kind of talk about. We talk a lot about it on the podcast, and we talk about it in the book as well, is that there's this huge thirst for wanting everything now. It's all this fast fashion, fast food, fast everything. I found out a while back, and this really grates me, is that you can now use Klarna on the likes of, I think it's Deliveroo and Uber Eats, so you can get your takeaway on a 3-month payment plan, which is like, where's the world going? What are we teaching our kids, do you know what I mean, today? And where's that ever going to lead to? I mean, people don't realise the effect this will have when you're trying to get a mortgage in the future.
Definitely. So you obviously mentioned your book, which is doing really, really well so far. Could you maybe give me a bit more of a sneak peek of what people would find in it, especially if people would be interested in maybe purchasing books to help change their financial mindsets?
I think that probably is it. The few people at the outset that read it, that we gave before we launched it, when they knew we were doing it and it was a book by people in the world of finance, I think they were expecting something that was going to be boring. And it seems to have come back that it's the exact opposite, that there's analogies and stories and little quirkiness. And it's, even though it does talk about alignment of things, and it's got four pillars attached to it. It doesn't spend the whole time talking about money in general. There are some stories about, I think it's
Three Little Pigs
and house insurance, and about Rose Dawson from the Titanic, and if she made the right decisions, and when, you know, instead of jumping off the ship. And there's a few things like that about football teams against the 60s, against comparing them now, and they all can bring out stories for people. So it's gone down really, really well. And even when it's been launched, the amount of feedback that we've got from people saying that it won't change your life, but it is life changing. As in, if the few points that if you do change things and listen to the few stories on there, you might think about your own life in a different way. And I think one of the big ones is the legacy about Chicago Airport and why it was called that and how it came about and that paragraph and little things like that will make people think about their own circumstances rather than just giving them a 162 page booklet about just do this and do this and do this. It's about kind of getting them to understand themselves and can they put themselves in the shoes of the stories and maybe make subtle changes to their own lives.
Yeah, we just want to try and just make it a little bit different, you know, be weird, but it's not the boring stuffy old book and people can just pick it up. They can just pick it up and kind of read a short chapter and they can get some little insights out of it. And if we can just make the difference to one person from producing the book, you know, the job's done really for us. But it was a bit of a passion project of ours, and we're already looking at turning that book now into one for your audience as well. And we've got some other ones in the pipeline. It's quite a kind of fun process, really, which we kind of do on the side. Because we create so much content anyway, the content's there, it just gets repurposed into a book, and all the kind of good and bad knowledge probably we've got gets put down on paper or gets put out in the video, YouTube or podcast, but we're happy to kind of share it with the world, really. And what we try to do as well with it, and we've a few people take us up on the offer, is that any company who's bought a couple of copies of our book off Amazon, including $7.99 Amazon, we'll do a free sort of hour and a half money wellness session with their staff on Zoom. I mean, to kind of say, well, you know, we can give them some tips and tricks, because, you know, we have a coaching element of the business as well, being the shape of the money coach, that we can cover it from that angle as well, and kind of with the budgeting and teaching people actually on a group basis the skills about money.
That sounds absolutely amazing, and it's really great you're trying to make a difference, especially with the problems of today. We need that financial education somewhere, and, you know, even if someone that stumbles upon it on YouTube or the podcast, or even maybe through us as well, you know, at least you're able to help make a difference.
That's the major thing, that there's no point getting people to have financial products until they actually understand about themselves. And if they don't understand about themselves and their relationships or previous relationships with money and learn the new ways, then whatever product they have, they're not going to understand it, they're not going to feel good about it, they're not going to use it, they're not going to keep it. So by stripping everything back and starting from creating a good foundation of education at the outset, it's worked for the benefit of us. It's got more exposure, it's educated lots more people, but also from the regulated arm, the financial planning arm, it's ensured that people now understand what we're trying to do. They understand the education side for themselves, they go and learn things, and it's easier for us to work with these people. So, you know, there was a reason for doing it, but the sales, which will never make us rich, but the numbers that have been sold and the positivity in terms of feedback that we've got is kind of really nice.
That sounds absolutely amazing. So I wanted to pick your brains about, I guess, more like from when you started out working within financial planning and accounting and stuff like that. What kind of advice would you give to those who are looking to go into the industry?
Wow,
you asked an interesting one, because we, I guess, give the backstory. We've come from two different routes coming from financial services, haven't we? You probably come from the traditional route.
Yeah.
Or I've come the non-traditional route, because how you'll generally kind of, Shane will kind of explain that a bit more, is people kind of join a bank and then go from that way. But I'm I did a degree in sports science, did absolutely nothing with it. Worked in pubs and restaurants, then joined the police. I did 6 years in the police in Wales down here, and decided there was more to my kind of life and career than that. So I kind of got into financial services, actually probably the worst time I could possibly do it. Most people would say writing is probably the best time. And just as the credit crunch hit in 2008, the crash, that's when I joined the industry. When obviously the world was imploding when it comes to the financial services mortgage market. That's kind of how I kind of got into the industry. So it was a bit of a, how to build my clients from kind of nothing. But had I kind of gone courses to learn everything I needed to do to become a financial advisor, and that's probably evolved over the years, you know, learning from other people and actually pushing the boundaries of what we think financial advice, financial planning should really offer to clients, because we do it very differently here. We have a totally different outlook. You know, it's not just about selling a pension or investment, it's about the bigger picture with clients. But that's something I would say we've developed probably over the last 4 years.
Yeah,
quite heavily into using more cash flow forecasting software and actually being really, really planned. You know, we did a bit of it before, but now it's really, that's the kind of direction we take our business in. So I think anyone trying to get into the sort of profession industry, still classes in the industry, should really be a profession, so we can stand shoulder to shoulder with accountants and solicitors. But it's probably trying to find a practice that is very kind of financial planning based and holistic based, not just acting just to sell products, that potentially does have a bit of a training plan. That, and that's probably the hardest thing coming in the industry now. There isn't really, it's a very cottage industry. There's very small kind of businesses, you know, one person companies and sort of smaller ones. So that's a little bit of the hardest bit to kind of get into it. But my route was a little bit less traditional, so I kind of had to work my way up through kind of learning as I kind of went along. I have maybe kind of real sales experience in the background.
Yeah, I done the traditional route of coming through a bank and then becoming self-employed and then running a business and that. But I think people that are joining, I think they need to understand that we all hear of CPD or continuous personal development. That never ends. You know, a pension is a pension. But if you're looking to do this, and I was presenting to a group of financial coaches last week, and I one of the slides I showed them between Gareth and myself since 2020, I think there's £43,600 spent on courses and stuff like that between the two of us, and that's regulated financial courses and business courses and all of that. So you're constantly learning. So this, you have to get a certain level of qualifications to be able to give advice, and that costs quite a lot of money because you're going on courses and doing the exams and all of that. But when you get in, that doesn't mean then that you're, you know, qualified. You have to have an element of shadowing with somebody because you have to be deemed competent, and that can take quite a while on that. And then if you're the business owner, you have to understand the concept of budgeting and managing your time and your money, and you have to learn how to use social media, and you have to learn how to all of these things. And I think the old style financial advisor will have, you'll see them, they will be product centric, they won't have social media presence, their business planning, business structure will be very outdated, and that just won't exist. Another 5 or 10 years, that's all going to be gone. Whereas I think the younger generation, i.e. those that are under 50 going forward, they have to be continually developing their knowledge on what they're working in, themselves, and their understanding of the business. So it's forever learning, which can then take up quite a lot of time, because I think the minimum for us in terms of the regulations, 35 hours a year. But when you add that into your own personal learning and your own business learning and trying all new things when the social media, it's quite daunting. So, you know, if people are joining, it isn't just get my 15 exams or whatever it's condensed down to now, because I think we've done about 35 between us. It isn't just get that and you're ready to go. There's quite a lot in it. So if you are getting on board and getting interested in getting into the world of finance, financial planning, financial advice, you need to go to a good firm that understand the concept of putting their arm around you, teaching you the correct ways, and knowing that it's a long game. You're going to have to prove yourself. You will have a great career. You will have a great lifestyle. You will make good money. But it's going to take a lot of effort for probably the first 60 months.
Yeah. It's a great profession to get into, 100%. And it's one that you don't actually have to go to university to get a degree to do it. You can actually do things by, because your class is distance learning, really. But the hardest part of doing it is actually getting into the industry, because, you know, a lot of the firms are smaller. You are going to have to go and find some bigger company, your likes of St. James Place, your Quilters, Chase to be some of the bigger firms, or even some of the banks like Barclays, Wealth, if you're getting with those type of companies, they're going to train you up and teach you all the kind of, I guess, sales things you need to know, the qualification side they'll help you with, because it's not a cheap process to get qualified. We've had a few people come in here over the years, and we asked how do they get into the industry, and they're coming from jobs which pay quite well. We're saying, look, if you want to get into the industry, you're going to have to take potentially a 50% pay cut just to even get on the ladder. So if you're willing to do that and pay for your own exams, then you could probably find a smaller company to go and join. Otherwise, you've got to kind of go and join one of the kind of bigger ones, which will put you through some sort of training and so on and so forth, because it's a hard kind of industry to get into with a smaller company.
Yeah, but we've become an overnight success after 30 odd years of experience between us.
Yeah. And your overnight success, as I always kind of say, which is what financial services is like, really. I mean, it's all about kind of building a client bank and kind of crafting. You know, there's loads of clients out there, not enough advisors to advise on them. So there's definitely business out there. I think it's a great profession to get into, but it's kind of finding the right route really for you. I guess there's a few ways you can kind of do it.
Oh, definitely. Well, is there anything else you guys would like to add with advice, or anything you'd like to cheekily plug, that sort of thing?
Do you know what? If it's plugging wise, we will say we've had 30 plus years of experience between the two of us. We've seen all the recessions there is known. We've seen all of the bad ways of doing things, and it's not for to talk about now, but some really bad things that have been done over the years that we know of people, and there has been a lot of false information given to people. People have been done out of quite a lots of money. Some people have gone to jail for it. The profession industry has been tainted by those people, and now we've got into the world of digital planning and stuff like that. There is infinite answers on the internet, but it's like everything, there are correct answers and incorrect answers on the internet, and the first thing you have to do is, if you're looking to cut corners is and not pay for somebody that has 30 years experience, is whittle through all of those and find the correct answer on the internet. But then with that, there's probably going to be dozens and dozens of correct answers. You pick the one that is going to be the most appropriate for you. So yes, you can find anything you want through Google anymore. It's just trying to make sure if it's the right answer and if it's the right one for you. So Gareth touched on it earlier, that there is hundreds of thousands of people within the UK that do need advice, planning, guidance, and through certain limitations, I think through the regulation, you're not allowed to give advice to everyone. There's a thing called TCF, treating clients fairly, and now consumer duty coming in, that everyone has to be treated with the same level of, I was going to say respect, with charging and stuff like that, which makes the advice gap, as they've called it, even bigger. So as a result, through the education side, we are just about to launch, as a result of the book, an education arm of the business where, for a subscription per month, we'll do Zoom sessions with people. We'll teach them about the aspects of money. We'll show them how to financial forecast themselves. We'll do one-to-ones with them. So it's our way of plugging the advice gap, because unless you have a shed load of money in the six figures, a lot of the time people can't access our experience because they just can't afford it. So to try and make a difference, we've brought that to the forefront. So it's not advice, it's more so education and planning, And so as a result of not having to give specific advice, we can reduce the cost for that, pass it out to the masses, and hopefully people will be able to subscribe to that on a monthly basis and understand the meanings of certain phrases and finance, learn how to budget, learn how to look after their own finances, and so create good habits and behaviors for themselves. So that's, I think it's nearly done now. We're just tweaking one or two things and hopefully have a rollout officially at that by the end of this month, beginning of March. But that's an alignment to come out alongside our book.
Wow, yeah. That sounds brilliant.
And probably just to add to some of that, the what we find out there in the world is this big fear and greed issue. That crypto was a good example of that. Everybody bought crypto when it was at the highest. The people thought that this was the time to buy, but by that point the horse had already bolted. The ones who made real good money got in really early, but people were trying to go in at the peak of under $62,000. They were trying to buy then because they had this fear of missing out, this FOMO. And I always kind of come back to the, if it's too good to be true, it usually is. So everyone's hearing about these massive kind of, but people who put their money in at when it was at its highest would have seen that money drop, you know, somewhere in the region of 60-70% overnight. And that then is going to have to take 500% return to get back to where it was. So people just need to, like Shane said, there's so much stuff out there on the internet, and you can watch. Like we watch some of these YouTube videos, and people class themselves as financial advisors because they're qualified as financial advisors, but have never advised a client in their life. You know, they're giving financial advice on YouTube. You know, we don't give financial advice on YouTube. We give guidance, we give kind of education. People aren't giving financial advice on the likes of YouTube, Google, things like that. They're qualified financial advisors because they've got the level 4 diploma, which is the minimum you need. They've actually never advised the client in their life. And they're on there telling people how they should kind of do it. And that's a huge problem for me. And that's the hardest thing, is to sift through the noise and nonsense which is out there. But I kind of come back to the fact that if you look at things and feel like it's too good to be true, it usually is. And that's where a lot of these things are, with crypto, NFTs, and all these things. They've all proved they're kind of worthy. They've all tanked and people have lost a lot of money. Now, if you bought those early and held them like you would with any investment for a long term, then you probably would have done all right. You can't just jump in and out. No one can time the market. None of us got a crystal ball. So that's kind of my thoughts.
The last thing I'll finish on, I think there is a massive, and you may know this, don't forget, shortage of insurance for all aspects of people, because the concept is it'll never happen to me, I'll never, you know, or my business or anything like that. But on the other hand, they do the lottery every week and say the opposite, it could be you, but it doesn't it'll never be you when it comes to, you know, losing your business or house insurance or business insurance or personal insurance. And that again comes back to the need for education and understanding of, for us, we're planning a journey based on your circumstances or what you want to do and achieve and when. But we also have to throw into the mix when we're educating people the scenarios, not just this is going to be the rosy scenario, because we know that hasn't been the case even in the last 3 years. You know, things can happen that we're unaware of. You have to put into the mix the what if scenarios, and only by talking in such morbid ways with that as well can you cover all eventualities. So we're planning maybe as a family to ensure that Mr. or Mrs. stops working at a certain age, or they send some kids to university or whatever it may be. But also, what happens if somebody, you know, falls seriously ill and can't work again, or the one family member who's the biggest earner passes away? At least by having those discussions and understanding the consequences to that, people are more educated in terms of the what-if scenarios and can put plans and procedures in place for that, because unfortunately it does happen to some people.
Definitely. Thank you so much for talking with me today. It's been really insightful, I think, for myself, but also hopefully everyone else that's listening as well.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you to my guests today, Shane Hyland and Gareth Shears, for talking about working within the financial services industry. If you're looking for financial advice for your business or educational workshops, please visit www.financialservicesindustry.com. sanfp.co.uk. I have been your host, Dawn Cross, and tune in soon for another episode. InSync is one of the UK's fastest growing insurance providers, offering comprehensive cover for SMEs and self-employed across the UK. Our expert team can tailor your insurance to meet your individual business and compare prices from our Lloyd's of London approved partners. We offer a 5-star service and have been FIFO Platinum Trusted winners 4 years in a row.